coming to you live from Plughead Studios in beautiful Largo, Florida. We are keeping you plugged in with episode 345 of F5 Live. Refreshing technology.
This week, Japan, Europe.
Nobody cares about Europe.
And Barcelona. Barcelona.
Life doesn't make any sense. Zero sense.
Is that what's happening
That's
in here?
That's what's happening in here.
Well, that would explain the smell, I think.
Nick! Life doesn't make sense.
See?
Can't Obviously. Just yell things.
No, you can't.
It's a segment. I know what the smell is. It is terrible.
I'm just going to let you...
It's the new tech smell, I mean, which is the best thing ever. Because, Scott, I think this show...
This show?
This show right here.
This one here?
This one right here is part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. I'm Nick.
And I'm Scott.
And we're here!
We are I See Us.
In multiple places.
Mostly just one tonight. Yeah. There's a little one down there.
There's one right up there. You can't see. I can see it. It's real in me.
It's paused.
Yeah, it is.
I know.
But it's still there.
That's why I said it.
You can still see it. We are here. Wherever you may be, and however you may be accessing our show, whether it be Facebook, iTunes, Zune, F5Live.tv, the podcast publisher play app available in the Windows Store, over on our new home at Livestream, Tech Podcast Network live stream, or of course on our apps. We have several of them.
We do.
A couple of them. One for all things Windows and one for your Palm Pre or potentially LG WebOS TV.
It's
because
true.
We're ready for the future.
We are.
My friends, we're talking about the PlugHits Live app available at plughitslive.com/apps.
Sounds a little bit like you're having a stroke or something through that promo.
Okay, it's really funny though, because the first week we launched it, I got confused, as usual. So I said plughitslive.com/app, and you were like, there's more, but you didn't say it. And then you nodded, pleased with the result. Which is positive reinforcement for me to continue the same thing. This is all your fault.
Sadness. I apologize. I apologize to all of our listeners and viewers that is apparently my fault. Who knew?
To reverse that, what you actually do...
Punch you in the throat.
There's a little of that. But what you do is you spray me with water to retrain the behavior.
Excellent. I will have a water bottle in here starting next week.
Keep in mind the thousands of dollars of electronics to my right.
I gotta spray you like this.
Just like that.
Okay.
Or you can put it here. And then every time I say something, you just press a button.
Remote control it.
Yeah.
Do it from the surface.
Right. Perfect.
Microsoft.
Plughitslive.com/apps. Where am I?
You're right there.
But of course, there is one place you can go to get all of the content as it happens on your phone, computer, or tablet. And that's by going to F5Live.tv and clicking the subscribe buttons on the right-hand side. Audio, video, social, special events, the Pilch Point, the Nightcap. So many activities. So many.
I don't even know how that became a thing for us.
I don't know.
I'm saying it for weeks.
You can go subscribe. Now
Here
this,
and not.
If you can believe it or not, this is F5 Live. Refreshing technology, our flagship show here at the Plughits Live family of content. It's labeled to help you, help us, help each other listen to shows. We broadcast Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and the show gets posted between Sunday nights and Monday mornings for your drive to work, school, or what have you, in studio quality sound. The thing in the back, that was great. That was great. Studio quality sound does not mean we all talk like that, even though I made a preset to do that. What it means is it sounds great. Because sometimes live stream doesn't.
Much better than Ustream.
Yes, by a lot. And which,
and oftentimes, the audio and the video are in sync.
Oftentimes. And Ustream, by and large, is better than TalkShoe.
Indeed.
So, I mean, there's levels to this right here. There's levels. That's an incentive, though. If you go subscribe to our show, you can listen to it in studio quality sound. It's a great thing. And you can consume that content as a zombie. But if you want to listen live, there's an incentive, too. And that's the fact that you can chat with us in the studio every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time by going to f5live.tv/join us. Stay tuned in that chat room, you dapper, dapper people, for the epic award-winning, spine-chilling, bone-tingling, Oscar-nominated nightcap. It's Academy Awards month. We got this. The nightcap is a thing that we started. It was the post-plug. Post-plug, I got to whisper it.
I knew you were going to do that when you started the intro.
The nightcap is where we pick a question, which Scott is creating right now because it's his week. He might have had it already.
It's my week?
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Mine was running of the bowls that got turned into screen sizes last week.
Yep.
This is how we roll. We pick a question off the cuff. We don't talk about it. And then we discuss it after the show. If you're listening live, you get to chat along with us. We take your questions. Hashtag nightcap. At Plug Hits Live. And if you don't listen live, the benefit is you get to watch us later all post-produced, but it's on like a 93-week synchronization issue cycle.
It is not that.
It is not. It is a 12-week halt back.
Ish.
It's fine. But it's fine. That's the benefit. See? We add benefits to this stuff.
It's 11 right now.
It's 11.
Tonight will be an 11-week delay.
Right.
I'm sorry.
So,
the question.
Tonight's question is,
weirdest chat room interaction we've had during the show.
Got it. I know my answer. I know my answer, and it's not tonight. I know my answer. I know my answer. It dates us back, but I know my answer. So we're good.
And I'm gonna open that a little bit more than just chat room. I'm gonna say
real life.
Nope. Fan interaction.
Lovely jubbly. We got this. Okay, so hashtag nightcap. Participate with us. Let us know your comments.
You cannot say the username.
Got it.
I know who your answer
really,
is.
Really dapper guy. At Plug Hits Live. Over on Twitter. On Facebook. Plug Hits Live Radio, F5 Live, or of course, follow the Tech Podcast Network, TPN, the Tech Podcast Network. It's at Tech Podcast on Twitter as well. Also, follow us on Google Plus.
Yes.
Because that's a big, important thing to us. And we love Google Plus.
Apparently, we do. Who knew?
Nobody. So, we have a big show tonight. We really do.
We do. So big that we're actually going to blow off the first segment.
We are not blowing off the first segment.
We are, because we have something more important and somebody with more information.
More experience. They're better than us in every way possible.
Because they were there.
And we were not.
It's true. And that music means that we are starting the Pilch Point with online editorial director of Laptop Magazine, Avram Pilch. We're doing it a little early, and it's proudly powered by the Tech Podcast Network. Avram, are you there?
Yes.
Excellent.
I missed you,
good
buddy.
Good to have you back.
Missed you guys too. Sorry, I couldn't call in at 3 a.m. Barcelona time.
Unacceptable.
We were 6 hours ahead. We were living in the future, and we saw all kinds of futuristic things.
One of those super futuristic things you saw was a window that opened outside.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I know. They have them there, unlike my hotel in Taiwan. It opened semi to the outside, unlike in Taiwan, when I was in Taiwan for Computex, where I had a fake window with a fake potted plant behind it that looked like a balcony, but couldn't actually be opened. This opened to like a courtyard that you couldn't actually go into, but sunlight came into.
So that's how
I dissipated the smell of rotting flesh that was in the hotel when I got there. But otherwise, pretty decent accommodations for me. And if you had been following me on Facebook or Twitter at Geek and Chief or reading laptopmag.com, you might have already heard a lot about all this stuff.
So obviously, if you've been following your social media, you've been covering at length, obviously the most pressing issue out of Barcelona is your favorite Google Android costume that you encountered.
Yes. This year was a big disappointment when it came to Android paraphernalia. In previous years, Google had their own Android section, which was the most awesome thing. Even if you're not a fan of Android, you'd be a fan of this section because they just had like all of these app developers showing their apps, and they had a slide that you could slide down and free green drinks and giant statues of Andy the Android, and like you could go around to different vendors or whatever, and they'd give you little Android pins, collect all 20 or whatever. But Google stopped participating. They didn't participate last year either. So unfortunately, this wasn't a great show for small apps, small developers, and not a lot of fun Android stuff. But Intel did have a couple of life-size Android guys walking around, and I got to pose with one.
Yeah, there seemed to be some fun photos from that experience.
It's always kind of neat the kind of hype they have. I mean, Mobile World Congress is the CES. For those who don't know, Mobile World Congress is the CES for phones, and to an extent for tablets, for mobile. And a lot of companies come there showing off sort of mobile app technologies, SDKs. A lot of the big phone vendors are there. A lot of the big carriers from around the world are there. Companies that make technologies that we don't really think about a lot but are very important, like things for distributing the load on networks or cell phone towers or things like that, all being shown off there in Barcelona.
So let's talk. We have a pretty nifty deal going on this year because of the recent, I don't know the word to use, but now Tom's Guide and Tom's Hardware are part of the big umbrella that is that you also accompany.
Yes, so the team at Laptop, we now operate tomsguide.com as well. Our company owns Tom's Hardware, but they have their own team of writers and editors who are also there, and we know those guys and work with them. But if you see something on tomsguide.com, literally it's our same team, Laptop, Tom's Guide. We're writing kind of articles. We decide where they go, but we're a united team. So we did two best of lists this year for Mobile World Congress. And the one on Tom's Guide, we really focused on the best technologies that we saw, not just the best products. And there's just some really interesting technologies that we saw this year. I mean, frankly, even some of the things that didn't quite make the list, I was personally blown away by Fujitsu, which showed off for the first time a tablet with haptic feedback where they're able to use ultrasonic vibrations to simulate textures. So I got to touch this tablet, and they had different apps on it, and you could touch one that looked like an alligator, and it felt like your finger was sliding across scales. And they had one that looked like sand, and you had to wipe the sand away, and it felt like you were touching sand. I mean, not perfectly so, but somehow they managed to create different texture feels. And the more interesting thing was, as you moved across something where there was a bump, let's say, it felt like your finger was kind of going down, going over the bump. Like they had a DJ, like two turntables on the screen, and when you move the turntable with your finger to record scratch, it was very smooth, almost slippery. And then when you moved off of it, you kind of bumped onto the kind of hard surface. So really, really neat technology. We've used haptics before. You know, anyone who has a phone has been able to enable haptic feedback for a while to get a sort of touch tactile feedback when they type. But this is another level.
Wow. Just trying to comprehend all of that without actually being there is kind of insane. But obviously, that was one of your takeaways. We have a best of. We'll let you jump back and forth if you want to between laptops and Tom's guide. But go ahead and let's give up some of your bests.
So one thing that made both lists was the second generation Yota phone. I love this phone. I hope it comes to the United States. So the first generation Yota phone is out in Europe right now. Yota Devices is a Russian company. So if you haven't heard of them, there's a good reason. They haven't sold anything yet in the U.S. and the Yota phone is their first product anywhere. And they show the second generation of it. So the first generation was completely unique idea because it's an Android phone where the back of the phone is an e-ink, e-paper screen that shows your alerts and other information and is always on and obviously saves you a lot of power because e-ink, e-paper, whatever you want to call it, grayscale screens only use electricity when they're changing. So if you have something on there like your email that you really want to see or whatever and your battery runs out, it'll still be there. And this actually saves you a lot of power because if you can look at the rear screen to get information, then you don't have to use the power-consuming front screen. Well, the second generation model, the back screen is now a touch screen, so you can use it in back screen-only mode if you want. There's a lot more things for giving you alerts on the back screen. The front screen and the whole system have been upgraded, so now instead of being kind of a little bit of an outdated phone, it's running on a quad core processor and it's running a full HD screen, but the big news is that this is something where the backside of the phone can be used for all kinds of information, ranging from a map that you want to see to just giving you your email alert or whatever, and save you a lot of power and give you a second screen experience on the phone.
That's really cool. It basically takes the Nokia Glance concept,
right,
and makes it almost powerless or electricity-less. That's a great idea. I remember the first generation.
Was that last year?
Yeah, something like that. And thinking that this was something that could totally catch on, and then we never saw it here, and it was very sad.
Yeah, so the current gen, for those who are interested, is for sale in a lot of European countries, unlocked, so not through the carrier. And I believe it's 449 euros or something like that. So probably someone who really wants it can probably get it on eBay. They've only been selling it since December. So that's what's happened with them. But the company told me that to expect the second generation phone out by around August of this year in Europe and maybe early 2015 in the U.S., and they're going to try to work with carriers. Let's hope that the publicity that they get from having these demonstrations and winning awards like ours convinces one of the big four carriers here to work with them. Similarly, talking about technological innovation, we saw something at the Rambus from Rambus, which is known as a memory solution provider, that was a really unique invention that they were showing for the first time, a camera that has no lens and is just 200 microns wide. To put that in perspective, a red blood cell is 5 microns wide, and a strand of hair of human hair is 79 microns wide. So it's about 2.5 strands of hair wide for the active camera portion of this. And the way that it works is, without having a lens, it actually takes light. The light just it has a shape, a spherical shape patterned on top of the sensor, and it knows through math how to kind of turn the sphere of light back into a picture, so it can use an algorithm to turn what looks like a massive blob of light back into what you actually would be looking at the photo that you the actual image that it should see. So I thought that was really impressive. Obviously, it's not going to replace your camera anytime soon, but the idea is that it could be used in wearables or other things for motion tracking, very small and very inexpensively. And you know that just seemed like a really great breakthrough that we had to recognize.
Yeah, the fact that this camera is approximately three times the width of a strain of hair is incredible. Did you get to put your hands on it or see that or kind of?
So they showed me, and we have a picture of it on our site, the chip that contains it. But actually, to see the camera within the chip is like you really had to squint.
Right.
And they showed me sort of a blow up map of it. Then they did show me a demo of it. But what they showed me was how it could track light. So the idea being that by tracking light, it would track motion. So it would be good for a motion sensor or something like that. Using it for straight photography, while possible, is not a fantastic experience right now. I think it gives you an image resolution of about 128 by 128 pixels. So enough to have a thumbnail, basically. Not the best, although they're working on it. This is the first time they've shown this technology to the public. So it was kind of neat to see and to imagine where it might be going.
Right. And then Intel also had something to announce that we were kind of hoping they would, their Merrifield platform.
Yes, both Merrifield and Moorfield. So Merrifield is their next generation smartphone CPU. It's going to run at up to 2.13 gigahertz. This is the dual core version. It will run, it provides much better performance than the current Clover Trail platform that they're using on a handful of phones, that none of which have made it to the US. But the hope is that now that they have a faster processor, one that's supposed to get significantly longer battery life, Intel did a test and claimed that while running a benchmark they call Web Expert, their reference design phone lasted 19 hours, and that's not with a particularly large battery. I think like a 2100 milliamp hour battery, so nothing special. This is able to support 13 megapixel camera, some of the modern things that some of Intel's competitors, such as Qualcomm, have been able to support for a while. So it's bringing Intel hopefully into performance parity or close to it with the likes of Qualcomm and Samsung, which means they have a shot at getting the business of Android phone vendors, which is what they want. And then later in the year, they're going to come out with Moorfield, which is the same architecture, which, by the way, is 22 nanometer architecture, just like the current Haswell CPUs, I believe. But it will be quad core. So expect this is the year, hopefully, for Intel that they actually make it into some phones, because they've had phone chips for a while now, but if you want a phone with an Intel CPU on it, you're going to have to travel to China or maybe the UK, and even there you might only have one choice. So hopefully a breakthrough for them. Speaking of fantastic phones, we can't overlook the contributions of Samsung, which really has kicked it up a notch with the Galaxy S5, their new flagship phone they announced at Mobile World Congress. This phone in some ways is very similar to the previous gen Galaxy S4, but adds a few really key features. One being the camera is always on HDR, so it's going to give you the best high dynamic range photo even in the preview mode. Supposedly speeds up the focusing to 0.3 seconds. They even say you'll be able to sort of focus after shooting a picture, so you'll be able to sort of pick the focal point, almost like that Lytro camera that people were all talking about last year. So lots of great new camera features with that, and then it's going to be waterproof, which is another big step forward. And it has a heart rate monitor on the back, so you can stick your finger on it and find out just how close you are to death.
Water resistant, sir.
Yes. Well, it's water resistant to the point where it will survive 30 minutes underwater, under 1 meter of water. So that's pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't suggest swimming with it, but if you drop it in the toilet, you can leave it there for 29 minutes.
But a quick dip in the hot tub is okay.
Yeah,
you can't go swimming, but the sauna is acceptable.
They haven't said about the heat, but probably is. I mean, it's made to survive water and dust, and that's a big step up because the previous generation didn't do that, and Sony's been doing that on their Xperia phones, so that gives them some parity, which is good. Another thing Samsung released, which is important, is at least not one but three new smartwatches. The best of these was the Samsung Gear Fit, which doesn't look nerdy at all. It is a fitness band style watch, but it also has a display on it, can show incoming calls, can run some apps, and has a heart rate monitor on the back. And then they updated the Galaxy Gear now they're calling it the Gear 2. The word Galaxy is not in the name because it no longer runs Android, and Samsung's naming rule is the word Galaxy is only in the name of a product if it runs Android. Now, here's a little headline that maybe didn't make it out of Barcelona. If you bought the original Galaxy Gear, Samsung has pretty much thrown you under the bus. Because the original Galaxy Gear runs Android, and it has maybe 100 apps, I think less than 100 apps available for it. The new Gear Watch and Gear Neo, which is the same thing as the Gear 2 but without a camera, both and the Fit all run Tizen, Samsung's new operating system, which means the apps are not compatible. So there's a whole new app store for this. So people who bought the original Gear, there's really no incentive for developers to keep developing for that, the handful that were. So that's kind of become an orphan platform now, which is, I think, sad for the people who ponied up $300 for the Gear. I mean, it's still going to work, but you're unlikely to see new apps for it. But the new watches are now waterproof. They now are much lighter. The band is replaceable. No longer is the camera built into the band. You can use any standard 22 nanometer band. So and they do heart rate monitor on the back. Also, so they give you, there's a real emphasis on fitness and seeing, you know, what your heart rate is, and having pedometer and heart rate monitor built into the watch, built into the phone. Wherever you go, they can track your fitness.
Now, the question I have is, are these things as limited in what they can connect to as the first generation was?
They haven't been very... they haven't been very straightforward about giving, not straight, they haven't really disclosed the exact list. It sounds like it's Samsung devices only again. Now, if you were savvy and you bought the original Gear and you rooted it, which we have instructions for, by the way, on laptopmag.com, you can make it run with any phone. You won't be able to do the calling feature, but you'll be able to like surf the web from your watch or other things that you can do by rooting it. But yeah, it's kind of crappy. And to be honest, I'm not really sure why Samsung has to do it this way. Sony has a smartwatch that works with any phone. There doesn't seem to be a really compelling business reason, a really compelling technical reason why they couldn't make it work with any modern Android phone, except that they're trying to use it to promote the brand, which is kind of strange considering that they should be really worried about selling watches.
Right. And so obviously we have a bunch more bests over on the websites, and we implore you guys to check those out, and we'll give you the links in just a little bit. But your main takeaway, since we're wrapping up here from the best of Mobile World Congress, your biggest takeaway from the event as like a vision for the next year. We kind of asked you this each year. What did you kind of take away was the landscape for the year coming up?
Health and selfies. Selfies.
Selfies.
This may sound really healthies. Weird.
Healthies.
Healthies and selfies. But Everything seems to have health built into it, and you're going to see a lot of phones. We saw a lot of phones that have 5-megapixel front-facing cameras and special selfie modes to help you take better selfies. So this is definitely the me generation of mobile devices this year, things designed for you to focus on yourself.
Ah, narcissism at its finest at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona this year.
That indeed, the phones could be mirrors, or perhaps should be.
Should be. Abram.
Like the back of a palm tree.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Abram, go ahead and give them your contacts one more time.
So I am the online editorial director for Laptop Mag and now also TomsGuide.com. You can check us out on the web for all of our mobile stuff at LaptopMag.com and all of our other stuff at TomsGuide.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at GeekinChief.
Very good, Abram. We'll let you catch up on your jet lag, get back to work, and then we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
This week's Extra Life on F5 Live is proudly powered by the Microsoft. Here's the Microsoft Store, I should say.
By the Microsoft.
B-U-Y. No, but I say that because you should. Titanfall is just around the corner and off of the heels of last week. That night, the night after we did our show, they announced this bundle. They couldn't have announced it a couple hours earlier for me to announce it, but no, they've announced it, and I will tell you about it now. The Xbox One bundle has been revamped to include a digital copy of Titanfall for the same price as the Xbox One.
Nice.
That is awesome. So for $499.99 or for $499.00, depending on the day.
And where you purchase it.
Right. You can get Titanfall as a digital copy on day one download. And the Xbox One. So if you haven't picked one up yet, you need to. Consoles, games, and accessories for both the Xbox One and Xbox 360 are available at the Microsoft Store by going to f5live.tv/Microsoft. That's an incentive if ever there was one to pick up an Xbox One. That's for sure. And another incentive to keep your kids away from your cell phones, tablets, and other electronic devices that may have a credit card attached to them. We talked about this, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, right? From Apple? And how Apple paid out $100 million in lawsuit damages to however many parents because they didn't watch what their kids were doing and they made erroneous charges on their devices. Some of them toddlers clicking and some of them kids actually buying things because, ooh, pretty colors, click buy.
And now the process has become, they changed the process for purchasing apps so that it is so bad I felt I needed to write about it in my week-long iPhone experience blog.
And that was for a free app.
Yes.
That's not even paid apps. Now,
Apple has no idea about contexts.
The European Union seems to agree with at least the concept that developers shouldn't deceive their customers in the practices behind free-to-play games. That's what they say. They're in meetings this week with Apple and Google to discuss standards and practices that should maybe go in place over in the European Union on preventing... I'm going to use the right words up front of what they say. And then I'll replace them with my words later. Preventing nice words for kids not paying attention. And parents not paying attention to kids. I couldn't come up with nice words. I'm sorry. That's really what it is.
Those are nice words.
Okay. Yay. Nice words. So, this is...
Mean words would have been stupid parents.
Stupid parents.
But
bloody,
that's not what you said.
Bloody stupid parents. Because Europe.
Is the Brits.
Right. This is specifically geared towards the free-to-play titles that either are legitimate or copycat titles that have a pay-to-win mentality. Specifically aimed at mobile gaming, not the PC gaming.
It is specifically aimed at mobile applications.
Indeed.
Not mobile gaming. Which is where I take issue.
You have the floor.
So, a good friend of ours, Kevin Wolf,
mm-hmm.
published an application for the Windows Phone Store. That's a free app that allows you to connect to IP cameras that wherever you have them that you have access to. You can download the app for free and use it right now for one camera. But through in-app purchases allow you to add more camera capability. They are also taking offense to that.
They are. They want to make it so that developers are specifically clear on what an in-game or in-app purchase is, what an in-app transaction is in a free app. And I guess hundreds of complaints came in to the EU's Justice Commissioner Vivian Redding's office. Parents complaining, oh, my kid bought... Oh, I didn't know that you had to pay for... And now they're going to hold meetings with the top... Two of the top three publishing markets.
One in three in Europe.
One in three in Europe.
They're, for some reason, leaving number two in Europe out.
Indeed.
Which I think is interesting.
So, I wrote in my article, I have mixed feelings about this. You take exception to it. I really do as well. For me, it's on the pay attention side. From the developer aspect, from I guess from where you're at, it's an inconvenience to something that should be relatively easy. I mean, your experience in the Apple Store kind of dictates that.
It's the thing. In-app purchases are the thing that make the stores possible. Yeah, how many apps are there out there? I mean, I've got dozens of them that are free with ad support that you can pay to turn off the ads.
Right. Thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands and thousands.
Yeah, you pay $1.99, $2.99, something like that, and it turns off the ads forever. Hooray. It's those types of things that are going to get caught in the crosshair here. Yes. The pay-to-win mobile games, yes, absolutely. I think those are a problem. However, they are a small portion of the market, and the whole market's going to get hurt by this.
Right.
By a group of people who don't understand technology dictating how technology is going to go.
What bothers me, and I 100% agree with you, I think the problem for me was hearing that complaints came into an office. Some people made some noise, right? As it always happens. And the small sect of illegitimate purchases because you can't play thing or do thing without that purchase needs to be solved. But that's not the big picture.
You still had to go through the process of making the purchase.
Right.
And it's,
you had to know what you were doing.
Honest to God, if it's on an iPhone, it's not an easy process.
It's really not. Yes, glittery, shiny button that says buy things and masking things behind in-game currency, which seems so inexpensive, yet you pay $40 for one gold bar. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. That is the misleading and the misdirection that they're referring to.
So
I completely side with that. But
my guess is that they're going to mandate something when this is done, and they're going to mandate it wrong because, as the EU has proven time and again, they're morons. The only thing that's come out of there is micro USB.
Let me ask you this question you have more developer knowledge than I would in this. Over in the EU,
yes,
for an app that you publish worldwide,
sure,
same stringent policies on how to make your purchase through either PIN code locking or password protection or whatever the case may be. It applies stateside and over there.
Yes. The process is identical no matter where you are. The platforms are the same. I mean, we can't speak to Firefox or Tizen or anything like that, because they don't really exist yet. But the big three,
same process
as all industries tend to go.
So
big three, it's the same process no matter where you are. It doesn't matter.
So on Windows Phone, the decision to not use a PIN code on your phone that has a credit card attached is your own fault.
Indeed.
The issue on Windows Phone to give your whomever, significant other or child, the PIN code to make that purchase is your own problem. The ability on the iPhone and iOS devices to enter your password 16 times, I'm exaggerating, at least five.
It was five.
To make the purchase is your own problem. None of, even with the most illegitimate software, you'd still have to go through those processes.
So the big complaint that's coming in is at the purchase time of the free app, not at the purchase time of the in-game or in-app purchase. But of the free app, believing that it's deceptive that the application is free.
Free, yeah.
Now, in games, it's a little different. I mean, it's not. The game is still free. You can play it as much as you want for free. It's just sometimes you have to pay to do things quicker. You know, SimCity Social was a good example of that. You and I played that for well over a year, several times a day. We'd log in and screw around with that stupid game. And I never spent a penny on it.
Yeah.
And I had a ball, and it was a pay-to-win type title, and I never spent a penny on it.
I think I spent a couple bucks.
And I had a blast playing it several times a day.
Yeah, you didn't have to pay money for it at all.
No.
Couple of insane items, as expected. If, number one, it's an EA title. So, well, as expected. But yeah, you don't have to pay. I think...
So my recommendation to solve this is... well, in Windows Phone and in Windows 8, it's super easy to solve. In iOS and Android, it's a little bit more difficult because their stores aren't designed well. When you're looking at a product, on Windows Phone, for example, there's details, reviews, you know, you panorama view, right? You swipe through and you can see the details and the reviews and other apps like it. One of those panorama pages should be available in-app purchases.
That makes sense.
You can see what the things that are going to be involved in the game in the future are.
Sure.
Windows Phone and Windows Store, super easy to implement it in. The Android and iOS, the stores are so tall and they're not wide at all.
Right.
Would make it very difficult to incorporate that in. But I think that's the proper way to incorporate it. I don't know how, obviously, my life is all Microsoft development. So I know the way in-app purchases work there. I know that you add them as an attachment after the app is published. You don't have to republish the app to support new in-app purchases, kind of.
Even if you just add a new category into the system, and I know the word is wrong, but I'm going to use it, freemium. You have paid, you have free, and you have freemium.
But nobody's going to ever select freemium.
And that's the problem for the adoption rate.
Yeah.
And that's
why nobody would ever select it because they wouldn't want to get hit by this.
Deal with this.
Yeah. It should be one more detail category. And if the Apple and Android and Tizen and Firefox, if the other stores work the way the Windows and Windows Phone stores work for developers, there'd be zero work on the developer side to be able to list that information, because for me, they're all individually listed in my dashboard. I see all of the in-app purchases. This wouldn't have to be any different. It's just you'd be able to see what they are and you'd be able to see how much they are.
I would hope that is the only regulation we see from this, but I fear that it won't be.
If it's not, then the stores are going to be variant from market to market.
That's going to throw a wrench in the whole thing.
Yeah. The stores are just an app on the phone.
That's true.
Yeah, you
make the update.
Yeah, you branch the code. You you have a special one for the EU versus the rest of the world. I mean, there's a special version of YouTube just for Germany.
Gotta love that.
So yeah, things like that, they exist. It's a process we call globalization.
It's true.
Something we spent this last week doing. So
very good. This week's news from the tubes on F5 Live is proudly powered by Riff Tracks.
Make fun of movies or let the professionals do it for you because, you know, that's what they get paid to do. The guys who used to do Mystery Science Theater 3000 are back and doing what they do best, making fun of movies. From blockbusters to Batman, Target, Robin. There's a little bit of everything. Treasure of the Amazon.
My personal fave.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff. The way it works in general is for $3 or $4, you download the MP3, you play it along with your DVD, Netflix, Amazon, wherever you've got the movie, and laugh, and laugh, and laugh. From time to time, they have live events, and sometimes you can even download the live events after they've happened, which is the case right now. To find out what MP3s and videos are available, you can go to f5live.tv/RiffTracks
with an X. It's in their name.
You can make those $3 or $4 purchases just about any way you want.
You can.
Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, but not with Bitcoin.
Oh, thank God.
And my guess is that we will see that stay the course. Now, 2014 has been an interesting year for Bitcoin so far. The first Bitcoin ATMs were installed and implemented.
The first through ninth heists have been implemented?
No.
No, first that ones was 2013.
Were, God, those I were apologize. 2011, maybe. 2012. We've seen new vendors.
Yes.
Take it as payment. Overstock.com is a good example of a new adopter of Bitcoin.
New and interesting ways to obtain e-currency where we didn't see back in the 90s and the early 2000s.
It's true. And then on the other side, we've seen several heists. The largest one that's been known, for example, was just a couple of weeks ago against the largest, let's call it bank because the word is easy to say, Mt. Gox. And again, that's not easy to say, so bank it is.
Well done, by the way.
It's the world's largest repository of Bitcoin. Or perhaps I should rephrase that and say
it was
the largest repository of Bitcoin because of said heist, in which $492 million U.S. dollars worth of Bitcoin were stolen.
That hurts my brain.
That is a huge number. Now,
most secure currency in the world, huh?
We have to talk real quick about Bitcoin and its value. Bitcoin's value comes entirely from the belief in its value, which is a little hard to wrap your head around, but know that the U.S. currency works the same way. So it's not very much different. It's the reason why our currency sucks compared to the EU or Canada or whatever, because we don't have faith in our own money. Neither does the world. So Bitcoin's value is based on the belief that Bitcoin has value and the belief that you can get real money, because all money's kind of fake. So real money from it. It's similar in that way to the way stocks work.
Right.
In that if more people are trying to buy, you know, or versus more people are trying to sell, the price goes down. You know, supply and demand from economics, right? So that's how this works. So $492 million U.S. dollars worth of Bitcoin were stolen. Now, some of that money was customers, and some of that money was their own. 750,000 Bitcoin worth of customer Bitcoin and 100,000 worth of bank owned money. Gone. Bloop. Now, obviously, in a market that's this brand new, $500 million vanishing in the blink of an eye is going to hurt. These guys aren't Microsoft. They can't write off the entire first generation of Surface RTs.
Indeed not.
And have it just not matter.
Move on. Surface 2.
We're gonna discount these things down to $200. Oh, well. A little guy like this can't do that. It's not the way it works. And so what happens when $500 million vanishes overnight, you go away, is really the way it works. The organization shuts down. And they do so by deleting everything on Twitter.
Yep, that helps.
Which is creepy.
Once you do that, you can't get those tweets back. I mean,
you can, that's stupid. And it doesn't matter because it's Twitter and who cares. Twitter, you delete everything on Twitter and then you take your website down.
Right.
And you don't answer phone calls. You don't answer emails. You don't respond to the customers whose money you just lost at all. You pretend you're a middle schooler. You pretend you're not there. You close the drapes and go, shh.
Well, everyone responds to movement. So if you just stay really still.
And that's exactly what Bank did. I said that was going to be my word, didn't I?
Bank!
So they pretended they weren't home. And so people went away, right?
No.
Now, people picketed outside with signs that say, where's our money? In English, despite the fact that this company is based in Japan. My guess is not terribly effective.
Probably not.
So, what's your next move? Your next move is to sue. And a Chicago man. Gregory Green, who claims to have lost $25,000 in said vanishing act, has sued the bank as a class action lawsuit. So anybody who believes they have lost money in this at some point will be asked to prove that they lost money in it. But anybody who believes they've lost money can theoretically get involved in this class action lawsuit. Now, I mentioned that the company is based out of Japan. This guy's in Chicago. Don't worry. They do business here, which means there's jurisdiction here.
Perfect.
The questions that come from this are, can Bitcoin ever be secured? It's called a cryptocurrency. You would think that there'd be crypto involved. But so far, the evidence suggests that no. There's none of that.
They're making off with more money than all bank heists in America ever.
It seems I know. How do you get away with $500 million?
In one go.
Yeah.
And like that's on top of the 275, on top of the 200, on top of the 60,
all
on top
of the other,
40.
All of the other now
that I can
little
remember.
Ones.
And that's only the big ones that have gone on record.
Yeah.
There's been hundreds of thousands of dollars that have just vanished in between the downloading of the digital file. Just pulling out. Gone.
Oh, it's important for me to note, I didn't put it in the article, I just think it's funny that among those 750,000 Bitcoin that vanished are the Bitcoin that the CIA confiscated from Silk Roads.
Isn't that great?
So you could
bet your bottom Bitcoin dollar on the fact that maybe, just maybe, they might have said something to do with this. I just maybe throwing it out there. Maybe.
Yeah.
I did learn after you posted this article that they've not gone away completely. There is a hotline you can call. And they put two receptionists in a room. It's a true story. To handle calls, one in English, one in Japanese.
That's awesome.
And they're in a room in the bank's office taking phone calls 9 to 5. Japan time. Enjoy that. 9 to 5 Japan time for all of it. Have at that.
Well, they also haven't gone away entirely. There is a all white website with their logo and two messages.
FBI logo. Oh no, that's so gross.
Two messages from the team and the CEO, who I assume will be jumping off the building in the next couple of days. Or
we better put up some nets quick.
Just call China and ask Foxconn.
Just call in a code Foxconn.
Where they
everyone knows
where they get their.
That's
their
so nets wrong. From. I apologize.
It really is. So the first question is, how do you can it be protected? Not even how do you protect it. Can it be protected?
They tried.
Because so far it seems no. It seems that the wallet concept is a failure.
It does.
Because it seems impossible to protect. Then the other question is, can Bitcoin survive? Is this a thing that we will still be talking about
at the end of
Mobile World Congress next year? Like, will we still be having this conversation, or will Bitcoin, fingers crossed, be a brand name that everybody has forgotten? Or becomes the internet equivalent of Lair? And is the thing that we go back to and go, see, morons.
I like the attempt, again, the rehashed attempt with the clever ideas that were involved in Bitcoin. But it's a good idea, poorly implemented.
So what you're saying is, we won't compare it to Lair, we will compare it to Mirror's Edge.
Right. This is the Mirror's Edge of cryptocurrency.
Of the internet. Of the internet ideas.
Yeah.
Just really creative, totally out there, and not worth the time.
And somebody made a lot of money.
I guess the Silk Road guys, if your theory is
correct. Dude, they had to get their guns back, dude. Come on now.
They weren't their guns. They were just the eBay of
they had to get
filed guns.
They had to get the guns they stole back, dude.
They weren't the ones selling them. It was guys in Southside selling filed guns to guys
in Northside.
Yeah.
I got it. It's all upsetting and great all at the same time, because someone walked away with $500 million. And that's pretty amazing.
And all they had to do was apparently exploit a flaw that I guess everybody already knows about, because it happens every week,
all the
it
time.
Seems.
Hang on to your Bitcoin if you have it. I mean, if the market does stabilize, sell. Or hang on to it until, no point in selling now. The price is so low that you've probably lost your money unless you're mining it. But if you bought it at $1,000, just hold on to it because it's less than 10.
Then it's basically Apple stock what you're saying.
Apple stock right now.
Okay. So
Apple stock in the 70s.
Somebody bought it at $1,000. And now they're holding on to it at 4.25.
Right. Just hold on to it and hope for the best. Or call it Dogcoin and try to sell it to somebody as intrinsic collectible item. Especially if you bought one of those Bitcoin wallet USB drives that had the half the key on the drive.
Mm-hmm.
Sell that. That's got to be worth at least one half of one Bitcoin. By now, at this price.
That is a tremendous amount of money. My guess is it's not worth that much.
It's like $5 right now. I don't know. What is Bitcoin trading at right now? I don't even know.
It depends on the exchange.
Yeah.
This one.
Bank.
This one was the highest.
Yeah. Bank is no more, so don't sell it on bank.
I guess call the guy in the crack house in Southside St. Pete
yes.
and ask him how much he'll give you for it. I can't believe they've got...
He'll probably just trade you for a sawed-off shotgun.
I can't believe they've got these places mapped.
It's great.
Seeing that from Street View freaked me out.
Scary.
I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
Well, we won't then.
That's the music I wanted to hear.
Perfect. This week's DRM not included on F5Live. What?
Nope.
F5Live is probably powered by Xbox Muzak.
No matter the platform you have, whether it be Windows, Windows Phone, iOS, Tizen. Or Android, probably not Tizen.
No.
Yeah. So it won't work on your Gear 2.
Fit.com.
You can use Xbox Music. Even on the Xbox 360 and Xbox One, it's kind of everywhere. Or just use it on the web. You can get a 30-day trial. I might as well just do it. A free 30-day trial, and $99 will get you a full year of unlimited streaming and unlimited downloads to the devices of your choice. And you can get that 1 year subscription by going to f5live.tv/Xbox Music.
Free.
A 30-day trial.
30-day trial, baby.
When I said three, I figured I gotta finish it. I can't.
You could have just said 30 days free trial.
No. That's not how it was gonna work, and nobody was gonna believe that. They knew what I did.
Oh, Japan.
Oh, let's stay in Japan for a minute.
Japan. Well, that's why we put that in the teaser.
I know.
Top of the show. And you yelled it.
Barcelona. Let's stay in Japan.
Japan.
For a little bit. I know. But I also yelled Europe, and we only stayed there for 8 minutes.
Nobody cares about that.
That's true. All right. So we're going to stay in Japan, and we're going to talk about Hulu. Hulu Japan was the first international expansion for the world's weirdest conglomerate.
It's a Guinness Book World Record, actually.
I've never quite understood it. It's owned by three of the big four broadcasters here in the United States, and Hulu Japan was their first venture outside of our borders. And this week, they announced that, no thanks. Japan can have it. We'll sell it to somebody there who knows Japan better than Rupert Murdoch. Seems reasonable to me.
Sure.
Because I can't imagine that Rupert Murdoch knows much Japanese.
Nintendo.
Fair enough.
That's all he needs. Pikachu.
A card company. A card. Because that's what they made originally, was playing cards.
Hitachi.
No. His wife knows about Hitachi. Anyway, so... You weren't expecting that. So Hulu has decided to sell Hulu Japan to a Japanese company. And somebody in the company must have done some research on Japan.
You'd hope
because
so.
They picked the right partner, Japan's largest broadcaster.
Right.
So it makes sense that three of our largest broadcasters would sell it to their largest broadcaster. Their reasoning, they claim, is because the growth rate has gotten to a point where they believe that it's outside of their capability to manage it, and that it makes more sense for it to be managed inside of the country. And that makes sense to me. When you're dealing with the oddities that are Japanese television, they're unlike anything here.
It's insane.
Game shows that quickly turn to porn, prank shows where people in an office building are attacked by a raptor.
There's that too.
My favorite video in ages is that one.
And then there's porn that turns into a sports show. It's the craziest thing. I don't understand.
Game shows that the prize wouldn't get Americans off the couch. And these people are running headlong into walls.
Killing themselves for it.
It's if you've not seen Takeshi's Castle, watch it. It's just find an episode somewhere. It's worth the watch. The stuff they're giving away are like
cash.
It's exactly how it sounds. You'd be able to spell it.
Very good.
They're giving away like a toaster, and these people are running into walls for it.
It's great.
Whatever.
It's great stuff. So good.
So it makes sense that would managing that weirdness would be better off left to the people who produce it.
Especially considering that the companies that own Hulu don't know how to manage the companies in which they own.
That's true.
Where Comcast has a direct interest in Hulu at the same time having a direct interest in Hulu's competitor.
Xfinity.
That it owns.
Yes.
It's perfect. And then gives its competitor select access to Hulu. It's perfect.
Yeah.
All of it makes sense.
Whatever.
You don't want to trust those people running anime porn. You just don't.
It's
true. You
just
don't. You don't.
Hentai is a special thing.
Right.
You can't mess with the cultural whatever. Anyway, let's get back to Hulu Japan won't be changing names, won't be changing capabilities. They're going to license the name. They're going to license all of the technology. So it will continue to run exactly as it always has on the 90 million plus devices in Japan that are capable
Isn't that nuts?
Of streaming Hulu Japan.
It's so crazy.
Now, of course, with a new owner comes new content, which is always good. When Disney got involved in Hulu, we all of a sudden got ABC content and all of that, and it was very exciting. Same thing's going to happen here. Nippon TV, I think is the name
yep.
of the company. They their content will now be available on the platform that they own, clearly.
And they're like the Comcast over there. They are the largest, and yeah. they own food and TVs and cars. It's like they own everything.
So they're less like Comcast and more like the old NBC, GE.
Yeah, GE, yeah, they're GE. You see their name, though, everywhere.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah, so they're at the end of basically any anime you'll ever see.
So that's a comforting thing for Japanese people who yeah. are going to invest in this brand.
Yeah.
They'll know the name. It's yeah. kind of like the Comcast merger with Time Warner.
$9.80 a month is what they pay, so about what we pay.
They work Saturdays for it, though.
And they're going to get access to a lot more of the top-watched content.
So, it'll be good.
Yeah. I truly think this is a good decision for them.
I agree. That's our show.
It is.
F5Live.tv. Subscribe buttons on the right-hand side. Audio, video, social, special events, Coach Point, Nightcap, and more. Oh, that's good stuff. Go subscribe. It's going to be great if you didn't listen live or you caught us too late or if you just can't get enough of our dapper faces. Go subscribe. Go subscribe. It's great. You can watch us. You can listen to us. It's all fantastic. And I love it. You can also tweet us on Twitter at Plug Hits Live.
Awesome. I've missed that.
Follow us on Facebook or Google Plus. Figured if I was
Googbook Plus.
The Googbook Plus. I apologize. And I'm sorry on behalf of all of us.
That was what we called the original.
The Googbook Plus. oh, man, that's good stuff. Many thanks to Avery Pilch for coming on the show and talking for as long as he did. Because yeah. we appreciate it. Great things in store this yeah. year in the world of mobile. Healthies. Healthies all day. H-E-L-F-I-E-S. Healthies. It's actually, you take a selfie and you post your heart rate as the caption.
Because the monitor's on the back.
Right. You hashtag it,
it's,
and then other people can search for pictures of the same heart rate.
It's built into the metadata of the photo, just like it your all geolocation.
Makes sense. It all makes sense, dude. All makes sense.
I totally want stuff like that.
Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Let's do
it. The metadata in an image is easy.
Let's do that. Stay tuned for the Nightcap. We talk about
weirdest fan interactions.
Done. If you have one too, tweet us hashtag Nightcap. So, on behalf... Is that it, right? We're good?
Yeah.
Okay, on behalf of the staff that's not here, I'm Nick.
And I'm Scott.
We're taking healthies all the way in the next week. See you then.
Ciao.
117. I'm like a sloth.